This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker. Is brought to you with compliments of Dis-Chem Baby City.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. It is Wednesday, just after 11, and you are with me, Yolandi Becker, your host of Bump and Beyond, where we, as always, every week speak about parenting. Isn't it fun? I cannot believe that it is already almost August. It's not quite August yet, but that we're already halfway through the year. And really, the older your children get, the quicker time flies, I feel. And it's been such a beautiful holiday, but I've really haven't had the opportunity to properly marvel in this year of what it has been like and everything that I've done this year. So I don't know when I'm going to find this moment to marvel in it. I think I have to go for a quiet run on my own and then marvel in it so that I just remind myself of the blessings, because that's what parenting is. And we forget that it is an absolute blessing to be a parent, even though it's hard work, but that's what this show is for. I'm here to speak to experts to help you to make your parenting journey a little bit easier. And if it's not easy, to connect you with the right people to make it easier for you. As always, I of course want you to be part of the conversation. So if you have anything to share, questions to ask, please do remember our WhatsApp line is 061-895-1019. A couple of weeks ago, I spoke to Liesl O'Shea about dyslexia on my show. And we learned that reading is actually, in fact, not a natural thing that comes to us. It's a learned skill. So it's not naturally that it just happens. Unlike our topic today, we are actually as human beings, and I've read so much about this as well, because I'm really, really into the evolution of people and how we became. Oh, anyway, that's a whole topic for another day. But the whole point is that human connection and the need to communicate with each other is like an innate thing within us that is built within us. So we are built to communicate. I mean, it's fascinating the amount of languages, obviously, there are. And, you know, everyone wants to talk. Doesn't necessarily mean everyone likes talking. And some does a lot more talking than others, me included. But it is built in us to want to communicate and talk with each other. And that's my topic for today, is actually speech development. And my expert guest for today is speech language therapist. And she's like a very interesting segue. It's not actually, if you really understand lactation, it also is a good, she is also a certified lactation consultant, Megan Rigglesworth. So thank you so much, Megan, for joining me. I mean, just before you came on, I said to you that surname is a tongue-twisting speech therapist masterpiece, Rigglesworth. Thank you, Megan.
Yes, it's definitely a tongue twister. Thank you so much for having me on. I am looking forward to our discussion.
Yeah, I was asking you beforehand. It's like, if someone comes for speech therapy, your test can be at the end. If you can properly say my surname, you have passed and you can go.
Perhaps I should use that.
Just a tip for the future. As I mentioned, we are actually built to communicate. We know that. But do babies really understand what we're saying to them?
So when a baby is born, they don't necessarily understand the meaning of our words straight away. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't talk to our babies. And as you have said, babies are born ready to learn language. We know that in utero already, at about 20 weeks gestation, a baby can hear their mom's voice. And they actually, when they are born, they prefer their mother's voice and even the home language of the mother. So we know that when they are born, they are ready. And that's how they learn language, when we talk to them. So using those early opportunities to actually speak to them and help them to start understanding language. And I think one of the what we should also remember is, although they don't immediately understand the meaning of our words. From a very early age on, they can understand the difference in the tone of our voice, for example, when you're using a harsh voice or a soothing voice, when you're angry or happy. They can understand the facial expression. So when you're smiling, they know you're happy. When you're frowning, they know something is wrong. So that happens from very early on. And what's also important to remember is that babies start understanding the meaning of our words well before they can start speaking. So that is one of the foundational skills that need to be there. So it doesn't mean when your baby is not talking, they're not understanding.
No, and I mean, that's very interesting that you are saying all those nonverbal cues as well, because I think that's a lot of communication comes. I mean, the studies just on also these nonverbal cues, like our body language and things like that. And you can see that. I mean, that's always for me the funniest thing. When you see a baby, you always want to make them laugh, which is the irony of it for me also. The poor child, just like all we want them is to laugh. And we're always like, you know, having these squeaky voices. Oh, how are you doing? And you're like, your face is going to try and make them laugh and doing silly faces and things like that. And I actually do wonder if they really find it entertaining when we're making silly faces, because maybe they see silly faces so much that it's normal for them. It's so then normal. When they see a normal face, they find it funny. Who knows? I'm like going into child psychology year 101.
I'm thinking it definitely.
But one of the things that we also, a lot of parents do, and I often see it when I speak to small children, like when you're speaking to a 18-month-old or a 2-year-old, and they start now properly verbalizing themselves as well. Often they have words like, look, there's a woof-woof. They don't – is that now – because you are saying that they can understand the words long before they can actually speak the words. Should we be teaching them these other things like woof woof, or should we be speaking to them in normal language?
So what's interesting is that these words, the sounds that animals make or the sound effects, those are things that babies can easily imitate. So it is really a good idea to use them, but not necessarily to refer to something as this is a woof woof. You can say, this is a dog, he goes woof woof. So using the correct vocabulary, but introducing those little sounds and sound effects and sounds of animals, because it is easy to imitate.
Yeah. And I mean, it is such a nice thing. I mean, to bond with your child, I feel like as you're doing, like we always say as good night when we do a bedtime routine. I mean, bedtime routines are for bonding time, especially also for your partner if they're working the whole day, to come back and be part of that. I feel it's such a wonderful time. And then to read to them, and I mean, reading for a baby is obviously not reading. It's incorporating like those hardcover books that has animals in it. And like you're saying, it's like there is a dog. It goes woof, woof. I can also do it in a nice way. There's a cow, it goes moo. It's really is such a wonderful bonding opportunity to communicate with your child, and also to probably teach them different language. And for me, for instance, I remember as well when I was always changing my baby, I would say, because you also don't really know what to talk about them. And I think as a mom, sometimes you also go mentally insane because you're only talking to a baby the whole time. But you're like saying things like, I'm changing your nappy. Look at your cute feet. Look at these cute toes. I want to kiss them. I want to eat them. Are we supposed to be doing these things as well? Is that a good way that we should be talking to our children?
And our babies? Definitely. So we should definitely talk to our babies frequently. And you gave such a good example now. We should talk and interact with them every opportunity that we have. And an effective and efficient way to do that is by incorporating language and talking to our babies in our everyday routines. So what do we do every day? We feed the children, we bathe them, we change their nappies, change their clothes. You might go on a walk with them in the evening. So using those routines that are repetitive, we do them every day, and using language to say what we are doing. So during a routine, for example, bath time, we can narrate what we are doing. And that's also what you did now. You were narrating what you're doing. So we are taking off your clothes, we're washing your face, we're washing your body, all done, all dry now. So narrating what we're doing and then also commenting on what they are doing. So if they are splashing the water, you can say, yes, splash, splash the water. And really repeating a lot of the words you are saying and even expanding on what they are saying. So if they say, for example, splash, just the single word splash, you can then expand on that utterance and saying, yes, splash the water.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker. Is brought to you with compliments of Dis-Chem Baby City.
Yes, if you've just joined us, you are on 101.9 High FM, and this is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And as always, we are talking parenting today. Specifically, we're talking speech development. And as I mentioned earlier, it is such a intrinsic characteristic of being a human is wanting connection and wanting to communicate. So it really is only natural. And it's also, like my guest mentioned to us earlier, a good way to connect with your baby and create bonding with your child is through communication. And that's how we create that connection. My guest today is speech language therapist Megan Rigglesworth. And if you've missed the beginning of the show, don't stress about it. You can listen to it as a podcast on highfm.com later, that and all of the shows that we have. And as always, like I mentioned before, we would love for you to be part of the conversation. Speech with children is one of the coolest things. So share with us some of the funny things that your children said when all the first words, was it mama, was it papa? Share with us some of those things that happened when your child was starting to speak. Some of the funniest things happen, and I'll share some of them with you just now. You can, of course, WhatsApp us on 061-895-1019. 061-895-1019, and share with us. And also, if you have obviously questions for Megan, you can also send them in. We would love to answer them. My kids were really, I mean, my son really actually started a lot earlier than my daughter speaking. And to this day, he's got a much better linguistic ability, learning new languages and things like that. I mean, we are a trilingual family, so learning languages are, I think, our brain has been activated for it. But he started speaking so early. I spoke to him only in Afrikaans when he was a baby. I don't remember, but he like had funny things. I remember specifically he called yogurt, and I never used baby language with my children. I always said the words for everything properly. I never used any different words. I always use the actual words. But he like was very adamant about certain things. Like yogurt, he called vuti. Don't know where he got the word from. And then another funny one was like penguin, which is pikkewein in Afrikaans, and penguin in German. So once again, none of those three languages even close to the word he used, which was vakana. I mean, that's how this word became an actual word almost in our household, because he used it all the time, vakana. And we had this blow up like swimming pool that was a penguin. So it was an unusual thing that was around us, but in vakana was the word. And I would literally go and sit in front of him and I would be like, "Bah, vein," and he would go vakana. So for a very long time, vakana was the word that he used. I refused to use the word vakana. Google that. There's no actual meaning for the word vakana in any language.
That is so funny.
Not a secret thing that he invented, but that's one of those things that happened. But as I mentioned before we went to the break, about baby language, like I said, I never used it. It still filtered through. I don't know if that's baby language. Still filtered through. But is it something we should be using with children, the baby language?
So it depends on what your definition of baby talk is. What we should use is what we call motherese or parentese. And what that is it means that we speak with a lot of intonation in our voice. We exaggerate our facial expressions. We use a lot of gestures. We emphasize certain words, and we maybe speak a little bit louder and then a little bit softer. So a lot of intonation in the voice. And by speaking like that to our babies, they are interested in what are saying, in what we are saying. We draw their attention. They then look at us. They find it interesting, and that's how they learn language more effectively. And research has actually shown that if we use motherese to communicate with babies, they have double the vocabulary of children who's not exposed to motherese. But
what I do that with all people, not just the dog.
I also start speaking like that with my colleagues and my friends and who I am now. But what baby talk is, or what motherese is not, and what we should not be doing, is using incorrect pronunciation of words, or made up words, and incorrect grammar in our sentences. So, for example, we're not going to say, oh, look at the little baby. We're not going to mispronounce the word. We're not going to change the sentence structure. We don't want to expose them to mispronunciated words or incorrect grammar, essentially.
No, that's good to know and to also understand, because sometimes I do feel people have a tendency to do that with babies. But again, I'm talking to adults. Like, what did you say? Was it called motherese?
Motherese, yes.
Sorry, everyone around me, and apologies to my friends. I'm motherese-ing you. Apparently. Another thing that I mentioned also, what was very interesting for me is, I shouldn't be too surprised. Kids develop at different rates all the time. But it was a little bit concerning for me, I do have to say, because in the sense of my son, like I said, he started saying words much earlier than my daughter, and he had a good amount. At 18 months, he's the amount of words he could say. I'm not going to say the word because I can't say vocabulary. I can't say it. I just can't. But he could say a lot of words already. At 18 months, and my daughter just didn't have it, which was for me interesting because I felt she had more people around her, more extra person around her that was speaking, yet she took a lot longer to start saying words and to speak. Maybe we were speaking for her, maybe my son was speaking, who knows? But what is the normal, development before we get to when should we worry? Yes. What is normal language and speech development for children? Let's not say their whole life, but for the first couple of months.
So let's take the first year, for example. Like you've mentioned, children do develop at different rates, but there are still certain milestones that we want them to reach. And I can maybe explain the difference between a milestone and an average.
Yes.
So an average is when about 50% of children should be able to say, for example, their first word. But a milestone is a bit earlier. That's when kind of the cutoff is. That's when 75% of children would be doing this specific skill or have this specific skill. So there is still milestones that we want them to reach at a specific age.
Yes.
And when we look at young babies, so 3 months of age, 1 to 3 months old, they start cooing. And that's just vocalizations using vowels, so the oohs and the ahs. And they also make a gurgling sound at the back of their throat.
Mm.
That's how their speech is starting to develop. And then between the ages of 3 to 6 months, then babies start to babble, and that is the combination of vowels and consonants. And they don't have meaning yet. No meaning is attached to these babbling yet, but that's like the ba-ba-ba-ba, ma-ma-ma, pa-pa-pa.
I'm very sure that's why we called it a mama and a papa, is just because that's their first word.
Yes.
Convinced that is why. It's also the same word in every language.
Yes, it is.
Mama and Papa is a very
universal
word in lots of languages.
Yes, the person who thought of that was definitely very smart.
It was a baby.
And then if we look at around 6 to 9 months, they're not only babbling just mama and papa, but they have different consonants now. What do you call it? Different syllables. So they would say ma, ba, da, ga, and mix them in their babbling.
Yeah.
And then if we look at a baby that's 9 to 12 months, then they can start saying mama or papa meaningfully. So they know when they say mama, they're referring to you. When they say papa, they're referring to their dad.
No.
And at 1 year, that's the milestone for saying your first word. We want a child to say their first word at 1 year old.
Oh, okay, at the latest.
There can be a 2 to 3 month give. Because if it's around 3 months too late or after a milestone, that's when we consider it to be a delay.
Speech development, and I'll get to that a little bit more, is how it also involves lots of other things, because that I only realized with my own son. If you've just joined me, you are on 101.9 Chai FM, and this is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And this week, we are talking about speech development and language development and how we communicate with our babies. And my guest today is Megan Rigglesworth, who is a speech-language therapist, to talk about this important thing, even though it's a very natural thing and we're built to communicate and want to speak. There are sometimes concerns about it. And I mean, for me, it was very interesting when my own son, he went for speech therapy. And we actually thought it had to do with the fact that we were speaking three languages in the house. And I was concerned that maybe that's why, because he couldn't say the R, or because R in English is very different to R in Afrikaans and to R in German. So it's the placement of your tongue is very different in your mouth. Again, something I did not know before speech therapy. I just thought, you can't say R, what's wrong? And again, we thought it was to do. But it actually then questions came up with, did he have a tongue tie? Did he have a lip tie, and did he have feeding issues? And that's why I'm like, when I found out you were a speech therapist and a lactation consultant, for me it's like, oh, that's, you know, it seems like it's completely two different things, but in the same breath it's actually so well connected. It is actually necessary in some ways if you're working with babies and speech development, that it is interlinked. So it is amazing how the mouth obviously develops. As you just mentioned as well, the first words you do want to have at around 12 months, where they're saying their first words. But my own children, very different language development. When now, because now once your child starts saying their first words, this toddlerhood is now where the things happen. What is the normal speech development now into toddlerhood? Because there is like, you know, a certain time they have to be saying 100 words. I was like, how do I know if my child is saying 100 words?
Yes. So if we look at toddler speech and language development, from around 18 months, they should say about 10 to 50 words, use 10 to 50 different words. No. And between 18 and 21 months, they should use single words frequently. So to name objects, identify pictures in a book. And then at 21 to 24 months, so just around the age of 2 years, they should say about 50 to 300 different words.
Wow. Yes. That's also a very big range, 50 to 300.
The reason for the range is the 50 would be the milestone and the 300 would be the average. So that's why there is the big range.
Yeah.
And then also at 2 years of age, we want them to combine words to form an utterance, two words to form an utterance. So not just open, but open door or doggy box, for example. So putting two words together to form an utterance.
Yeah. Oh, is that not? It's not quite a sentence yet. It's
not a sentence. Yes. Not a full sentence yet.
But we see we're also, there's a speech, there's also, we're learning speech here while we're on radio.
Definitely. A lot of the lingo that we use. And then at around 3 years of age, there's a big range again, but they should be using 250 to 1,000 words already.
Sure.
Yes. Right. And by 4 years of age, we want the child to be mostly intelligible or understandable by strangers, by unfamiliar people.
Ah, yeah. Because that's also a thing, like a two-year-old, only the mom understands what that child is saying.
Yes, yes. So like, that's why...
No, it is like, what did they say?
That's why we distinguish between unfamiliar and familiar speakers. The mom definitely knows.
No. That is so interesting. It's like, oh, and it also reminds me so much of when my children, because I always say babies don't make me broody, but these 2-year-olds and 18-month-olds, when they're talking and only the mom understands, it's like the cutest thing. And they get so frustrated when you don't understand them. And I'm just like, it's so hilarious. I don't know what you're saying. What are you doing? I'm a little mean, maybe. That's on another note now. If your child is making mistakes in their speech, again, the moms obviously understand maybe what they're saying, but should we be correcting them or should we not be too strict on them?
So if we're talking about babies, we shouldn't be directly addressing their speech errors. So between 0 and 3, the focus should be language development. So the vocabulary that they use, the sentences that they use, their understanding of words, that should be the focus between 0 and 3 years of age. So when you see that your child is making errors, which should still be developmentally appropriate at that age, then you can indirectly address those speech errors. For example, if your 2-year-old or your 3-year-old is saying tat instead of cat, you're not going to say, no, that's not how we say it. Say it correctly. We are going to rephrase what they are saying or repeat their sentence to them by emphasizing the sound that they pronounced incorrectly without having too much expectation back. We're just modeling the correct way of saying it. So they might say, the cat, the tat is sleeping, and then you can say, yes, the cat is sleeping. So over-articulating, over-emphasizing that sound. You can even have them look at your mouth and show them where you're making the sound in your mouth. So showing at the back of your throat, the cat. And by modeling that, then we give them the opportunity to learn the correct pronunciation. But then after 3-4 years, that's when we can start focusing more on speech development as such.
Oh, and then also then saying, no, it's cat.
Yes, if your child is still making those errors, to rather consult with a speech therapist if they're not making developmentally appropriate sounds, then consulting with a speech therapist to help you with that process, because there are certain principles that we need to use in order to address speech specifically.
Oh, I love it. Thank you so much, Megan. We're going to add on to this just now.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker. It's brought to you with compliments of Dis-Chem Baby City.
And just like that, we are running out of time. Good things, you know, they say time flies when you're having fun. So it's been really obviously great. And if you've missed a show today, we've been speaking to speech language therapist Megan Rigglesworth about speech development and what's normal speech development with children, what kind of are the milestones and averages that they should be reaching when they're speaking, and how obviously we can also help them with it. I think it's such a natural, beautiful thing for children and a really great opportunity. It's built into us as well as parents and moms to speak to our children. Even though we say, oh, we're only talking to a baby, we love it. love it. We really love talking to babies because they really listen very well. It's when they're toddlers that they stop listening. But I mentioned also, Megan, that you are not only a speech therapist, you are actually also a lactation consultant. And through my own being a mom and what I do as a living and having an unusual amount of contact with people who deal with babies and children, I've realized the really great connection between speech therapy, obviously, and a lactation consulting or feeding, let's call it that. Another thing that obviously plays a role, and I've helped parents as well, when parents specifically got me to help them to get their children to sleep better, just because their children were still drinking milk quite excessively at night, and it was and using dummies at night, mm-hmm. and it was starting to affect their speech development. Can bottles and pacifiers or dummies actually impact speech development?
So the use of pacifiers and bottles in itself does not lead to a speech and language delay, but the overuse and extended use of a pacifier and a bottle can definitely impact speech development. And there are two ways in which this can happen. So if you are using a pacifier more than or longer than the recommended amount of time, which is about 2 to 3 years of age, then the pacifier, the artificial nipple, as we call it, changes the shape of the gums.
And oh, wow.
It physically changes the growth of the gums and the jaw, and that can then later lead to an overbite, which then affects the pronunciation of sound, specifically things like the S sound, which is then produced as more of a lisp. So, and you can then produce different sounds between your teeth because there's not that natural barrier. So it can definitely affect speech sounds. And then using a bottle for a prolonged period of time can also lead to an infantile swallow. What that means is you push with your tongue against your teeth and also changing the shape then of your gums, which then leads to mispronunciation of some sounds or, again, the interdental production of speech sounds.
Mm. It's so interesting. And of course, like you mentioned, this is excessive use of dummy and bottle. It's not using a dummy and bottle. Your child literally has to be walking around during the day with a dummy in their mouth for these things. And to be honest, my own son, he had speech therapy, and we realized it was actually because of a tongue tie that he had, and he was feeding really well. So the tongue tie actually didn't impact his feeding as a baby. So we didn't pick it up or correct it. He had speech therapy later then, and he didn't have to do surgery or anything like that. He just had to practice his tongue movement, and it corrected through speech therapy. So love it. And then now, as he's older, he had to get braces, and we realized he had an overbite, which didn't impact his feeding or his speech until that point. So, and he never had a dummy. He didn't also have a bottle either. So just because it can, it doesn't mean it's the only cause of those type of
situations.
That's kind of what I was making my point. But unfortunately, we have run out of time. Megan, just before you go, please, can you just tell people where they can reach you?
Yes, of course. You are welcome to send me an email. I'll quickly give my email address. So it is info@mwspeech.co.za. So MW for Megan Rigglesworth.
Ah, luckily you didn't add Rigglesworth in your
email. No.
Thank you so much, Megan. It was really lovely and informative to have you on today. Have
Thank
a wonderful
you so
day.
Much. You too.